Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I don't know if any of you are Facebook friends with Martin, but there was a Facebook picture posted this week of him and Russell singing Yellow Submarine in Portugal. So I was disappointed that we didn't have it this morning. He asked me if there was any requests. So, but anyway, you can maybe get a copy of it on Facebook. It's good to be together. This weekend, we've been celebrating the gathering and the life of the church. We've had a really good weekend, and this morning I just want to continue that. Really bringing to you some of the things that we've been talking about and saying over the weekend, and just sharing some of the excitement that I've got about the life of the church, and I'm sure that many others who were there have as well. So the idea this morning is to kind of spread out that excitement if you didn't make it to Friday or Saturday to the wider church. And that's what we're hoping to do. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 10. We're going to look at this morning. Next week, just so you know, we're going to be starting into a brand new series that's going to occupy us up until the end of the autumn. And we're going to start exploring the book of Isaiah. So do start coming along to that as we begin to explore that. But this morning I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we come and we consider some of these words and we look at the life of the church, I ask that you would speak to each one of us here. I ask this in your name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the Isle of Orkney. I was taking a meeting up there, and I had a little bit of time before the meeting on the Friday, and so I decided to go to Hoy, the island of Hoy, and visit the Old Man of Hoy, and it's quite a trek. I didn't realize quite how much a trek it was. I sort of parked the car, and it was lovely, and it was sunny, and I started off, and suddenly I realized this hill was getting steeper and steeper and steeper, and then, as the weather is apt to do up there, it started to change, and suddenly I was in hail and rain and wind, and I was just having an exhilarating experience. And So if we're on the journey, and do you ever notice when you're trying to go somewhere like this, the journey always feels so much longer? I have to say, on the way back, it just didn't feel the same distance. It was like it was half the distance, but getting there was just hard work. And there was one particular point where, you know, it had been hard graft to get up over the top of this hill and then down. And I could see where we were going. I could see the Old Man of Hoy. But I just took a moment and I looked back at what we had just done. And it was reassuring to do that. Because suddenly I realized all this effort, all this sweat, toil, rain, hail, actually I was making progress. While I was doing it, I couldn't sense it because I was in the midst of it and all I could feel was the rain and the cold but I was making progress. And you know, the gathering yesterday was about us taking a look back and seeing that we are making progress. You know, sometimes as Scottish folks, we're not that good at being positive. You know, one of my favorite writers is a lady called Carol Craig. And she writes a lot about the Scottish mentality and the Scottish culture. And I think it's best expressed by a joke I once heard about an English professor who said, in English, there is no case of two positive statements ever making a negative. And the Scottish guy at the back of the class went, aye, right? That's our culture. But there is much in the life of the church to celebrate and rejoice and thank God for. And just some of the things over the last few months. You know, I was told that our Alpha course is now 20 plus people. That's the biggest Alpha course I think we've ever done in terms of SBC, ever. Just started a week ago. You know, people, and these are predominantly people from outside of the church coming to explore faith. We grew more in 2012 in terms of our membership than any time in recent years. More people wanting to join us. In fact, I was cheered to see emails this morning saying we now have quite a lot of people wanting to serve in leadership within the life of the church. And you know, we're not having to go around saying, please. We announced yesterday that we were debt-free as a congregation, which made Ron very happy. That's the first time that we've been debt-free as a church for over 10 years. We are now debt-free. We're not carrying debt. It probably means we should be buying something else. But anyway. I mean, just a few more weeks ago, we had 5 baptisms. And just celebrated the life-changing work of God in young lives. And these baptisms were from really different backgrounds. I mean, we had Chinese folks here who had just a desire to discover the living Christ. And their energy and enthusiasm for Jesus was just remarkable. We had young people who had met some of our church staff, David and Rob, working in The Rock. And just through their influence and witness had come to Christ. You know, these were some of the stories of the things that were going on. You know, and that excites me so much. But you know, the other thing that excites me is that as we were at the gathering over the last 2 days, I realized that what we were seeing was not simply a vision that was being talked about, but it was a vision that was being realized. You know, in Christian circles, and in Scotland, there's probably no shortage of vision. Well, in certain circles, no shortage of vision. And people will always tell you about the great things and stuff that are going to happen and stuff. But there's always a tendency to go, well, where is it? What's actually happening? Yesterday, as I sat and I listened to the different areas of ministry reporting back, I realized we weren't just a vision that was kind of being described or talked about. But actually, it was a vision that was being realized. Let me just remind you a bit of that vision. Over 10 years ago, it started with an experience that I had at a funeral when I went up to Perth, and I was coming back with the head of Beaconhurst. And we were having a conversation, and he asked me where the church was. And because he was posh, I didn't stay across from McDonald's, because I didn't think he would know where McDonald's was. But I said, we're across from the railway station. And he turned around to me and he said, oh yeah, that is the one behind the wall. And I still remember this to this day, that when he said that, it felt like being stabbed. It was painful. It hurt. Because I hated the thought that SBC should be known as the church behind the wall. I hated the thought that tens of thousands of people walk past our building every single day and we have no impact on their lives or make a difference to them. And as I began to share that with the leadership and with others, God began to speak to us. And we began to have a sense that God was speaking into our situation, and he was telling us to do 3 things. He was telling us that we should be working with young people outside of this church who were roughly in the ages 14 to 18. He was telling us that we should be engaging with the people who work in the Thistle Center and meeting the needs there. He was telling us that we should be addressing some of the family needs that exist within our community and our society. And those were three things that were stipulated as what God was calling us to do. That was 10 years ago. Let me just talk about some of the things that we were seeing over the weekend that represent the realization of some of those dreams. On Friday night, we had our young people. And they got up and we were next door in the Rock building. And we were in what is now called Level 1. And the youth and young adults of SBC were sharing their vision for what is going to be happening there. If you haven't been into Level 1, then you should go up and have a look. They've redecorated it and changed it. And they were sharing about a vision not only to work with the young people within our own church and the students within our church, but to reach out to young people outside of the church community. Initially, through setting up maybe one or two days a week, a cafe into which young people can start to come into and can start to engage and build relationships with. The realization of our vision to reach out to young people beyond the life of this church. We then heard yesterday, Kathleen did a seminar on family life and on the Family Life Center. We've only employed Kathleen and really had the Family Life Center up and running for 18 months. But in that short time, amazing things have happened. Family Life Center now works with over 20 agencies, different agencies. Kathleen did a count, and there are over 300 people in and out of the Family Life Center in the course of any 1 month. She's hoping to turn that into 1,000 people within the next 18 months. And that's what we're looking to do. And there are stories within the family life as people are beginning to be touched and affected. We've set out, if you haven't heard, the vision of the family life, but really to work in three spheres. Parents to parents, people who are struggling in terms of their relationships and having impact on family. Parents to children, or to child, where we have parents who are finding it hard to relate to their kids. And I've been a parent, and I've certainly been through that. Thankfully, I think I'm past it. Well, maybe it changes as they get a bit older, but you have other issues. But you know, as a parent, I've certainly had points where relating to, and then to children themselves that are traumatized and affected by the breakup and the way that adults are so irresponsible and dysfunctional in the relationships that we form. And the casualties of that are the children, invariably, working in those spheres. And remarkable things are now being achieved. I'm sorry you can all hear the seminar that Kathleen did yesterday. It was brilliant. And, you know, it was just great. And I work in the building, and I'll tell you, when I sit there and I hear the stuff that goes on, I still get excited because I just went, I didn't know half of this stuff. And it's so exciting to know how lives are being touched through what we're doing. Yesterday, then, we talked about City Center Chaplaincy. And some of you will know, it's been in a situation where we've been reviewing City Center Chaplaincy and what we're going in. Yesterday, a decision was taken to continue with City Center Chaplaincy, and we're going to put it under the banner of Family Life Center and develop the ministry from there. And already, we have plans afoot to establish that. But I just want you to understand how effective that chaplaincy is. And Donald Black made a video for us, a PowerPoint. Unfortunately, I don't have the music for it. But I just want us to watch this and read the comment. These are actual comments that were made to Mary Ann Burgoyne. Thank you. That PowerPoint just shows some of the things that actually happen with chaplaincy. One of the things that are happening in our society, and again as a church we need to respond to the different trends, is while people are antagonistic to faith in some realms, there is a vast open door to chaplaincy in almost every sphere of society. We were talking to Workplace Chaplaincy Scotland, who are hoping to help us actually develop what we're, our work here with the Thistles. And they were saying to me that they have been inundated and overwhelmed by the demand from fire services, from police forces, from council offices, from shop workers for chaplaincy. People going into these places of work in the name of Christ and representing Christ in those places. It's an exciting, transformatory opportunity. And it's great to see that we're going to continue that and continue to see that developed. Now, I don't want to pretend that in terms of what we're doing with young people, in terms of what we're doing with family life, in terms of what we're doing with chaplaincy, that the journey is over. This is just a little look back on these things. But what I wanted to show you is that the vision that God gave us, and I believe still has upon us, is being realized and fulfilled, and that people's lives are being transformed and touched through the fulfillment of that vision. I still believe God is calling us, and you know, I wasn't sure whether some of these things maybe needed to change now, but I'm now certain, as a leadership and as a church, as we've looked at these things, that God is still calling us to be involved in these sectors and to still make a difference. There was another part to this vision which came about 5 or 6 years ago. One of the things that struck us was that we were a thriving church, a growing church, in the middle of Stirling. I mean, this morning, you know, we all came along. Many of us have driven from fairly nice neighborhoods and houses in fairly nice cars, some of us, maybe some not quite so good, but we've all got here, and we worshipped, and hopefully we will have an engaging, enjoyable morning, we'll talk and we'll relate, and then we'll leave. And suddenly we became aware that there was 2,500 people between the Thistles and the castle, the neighborhood of this church, that we made absolutely no impact on whatsoever. They generally couldn't relate to the church and its culture because we... And I'm not letting you in on a secret here. We're a basic middle-class church. And that's okay. God loves the middle classes. But the question was, should we not be doing something to communicate the love of Christ to those that surround this church? And again, we felt God saying, yes, you should. And through a series of opportunities that came up, we managed to procure a building at the top of the town. And we developed and opened the Haven. And we've got Rab working there. Now I want you to understand what the community that surrounds this church looks like. As Rob points out, it has many, many positive features. It still has a sense of community. People are still engaged with one another and they're involved in one another. But the community also has some real issues. There was a survey recently done looking at child poverty. And the purpose of this survey was really to recognize the communities in Scotland that were in trouble. And the way they quantified it was by children in poverty, because they thought if the children are in poverty, then the community has actually got some really serious issues. The community, the top of the town community, came in on the survey with 29% child poverty. Severe and critical child poverty sits at 30%. That made the area that this church is in one of the worst areas in the whole of Scotland in terms of child poverty. You had to go to the inner cities of Dundee and Glasgow to find similar rates as was being reflected in terms of the top of the town. I always say, I believe it's the nicest urban priority area in the whole of Britain if you walk up there, because it's very well hidden. But it has critical and severe issues. A lot of it is drug-related. And Rab was sharing yesterday. He was telling us of talking to an 11-year-old little girl who is sitting describing to him how to use and prepare heroin. You know, a 11-year-old child, who knows that sort of stuff? He was telling us about social services who have come to him. And there was a child there that he had some issues, and he had no male figure in his life. Again, symptomatic of what's happening with the breakdown of family. And they asked, Rab, would you be this little boy's role model? Would you be a father figure? I always think Rab's too young to be a father figure, but anyway, that's... You know, and Rab was invited by social services to be a father figure to someone. You know, and I know from personal experience, the way that becomes a life-transforming thing for that little boy. And that's because of the haven and that vision. You know, we spent almost £300,000 on that building. And I know Ron rejoiced when we spent some of that money. He used to remind me of how much we had spent on that building. But you know something, and most of the things that the church buy and things are great investments in terms of return and so forth. The Haven, we put more money into it than we will ever manage to realize out of it. But you know why we did that? Because we believe God called us to one of the greatest areas of need in central Scotland to express the love of Christ in a tangible witness, which says we will back this with our resources and what we're doing, and we'll put people into this, and we will represent a witness. Now, is it easy? Are there hundreds of people coming to Christ? Is it massive transformation that we can blast every week? No, it isn't. But day in, day out, being a Christian presence in the community, we are making a difference. You see, I believe that the story of the last 10 years is not necessarily a story of rocketing success. It's not necessarily the story of no hitches or a plan that was set up and then suddenly worked completely. But the story of the last 10 years is the story of a journey which was tough, which, you know, we struggled through the rain. But a year, where 10 years where we have prevailed as the community of God's people, and we have been obedient to what God has called us to. And I think as a church, you can turn around and pat yourself on the back. I don't think the journey's finished, but I think we have prevailed in a climate which has been hostile and tough to prevail in. And I look so much forward to what God has for us. The areas that I'm talking about here, let's click on, all come under our Acts 1 strategy. If you haven't got a vision leaflet, they are available at the back. You can pick one up. Where we explained last year our Acts 1 vision, really again something else that we felt God was saying to us, where we felt he was speaking to us in terms of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where God spoke about being a community that was empowered by the Spirit of God to witness to him. And that vision of what does an empowered witnessing community look like? And we said, well, it looks like a presence in your local community. And what I've been describing is where the church is centered, our local community. It looks like a regional expression, where we live, where many of us live, and witnessing to Christ in our regions. And it looks like an international or global perspective, where we witness to the reality of Christ in the wider world. All of the things that I've been talking about are local. They're part of our local vision. Part of being a force and impacting our community locally here around this church. There are two other parts to that vision, and I just want to touch on those quickly. We have the impact on our community. We have impacting children and young adults. The other thing, if you read our vision statement, you see, is not only are we committed to impacting our community, we're also committed to impacting children and young adults. And we believe that youth work is best done centralized, because if you get a crowd of young people, it's exciting to be there. It's exciting to be part of that, whether you're a student, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're a child. It's nice to be around others like you. And I was, thank God that my kids grew up in a church where there was always other children who wanted to follow God around them, and that influenced and that shaped their lives. And as part of that commitment to impacting children and young adults and students, the church yesterday decided that we're going to employ Amanda Reed as our new family and pastor of family and congregational life. And Amanda's going to be heading up our children's work. And I'm really excited about that as well. Because the one thing you will discover about Amanda, if you don't know this already, is Amanda is high energy. And I don't know if she has problems getting out of bed in the morning. I don't think so. And I know that in terms of what she will bring to our children's work will be high energy. And there will be a dynamic within our children's work that will be great. And so I'm really excited about that impacting children and young adults. So as we look at our local ministries, the impacting of our communities seems to be realizing the vision. Impacting children and young adults seems to be going really well. But there's a third component in terms of what we say the local vision for the church is. And we describe it as worship, but it's really about impacting our hearts. Impacting our hearts. You see, the foundation for everything that we do as the life of a church is based on our worship of God. It is based on our life together as a people of God, called by God to worship Him and then proclaim light into the darkness, just like Peter describes here. He talks, and it's as he begins to talk about being a chosen people and a community that is going to proclaim and witness to the reality of God. Here Peter begins with the statement. He says, as you come to Him, the prelude for everything else is coming to Christ. And I believe at the center of this church, we have to have a vision for our hearts being impacted by the life-transforming power of Christ. Let you in on a couple of secrets or things that I believe. One, you probably guess this if you look at our services or structure and things, but one, I believe that one of the most effective forces for building the life of the church and impacting our lives is the preaching of God's Word and the centrality of God's Word to the life of a church. Now, if you read the books nowadays, there are all kinds of trendy ideas out there and things like that. But you'll know I'm a wee bit of a student of church history. Let me tell you, the ideas have come and gone. But the things that have prevailed and prevailing churches have always had the proclamation of God's word at the center of what they do and their life. The proclamation of God's word, again, as Peter explains here, is what actually draws us into the worship of God so that we are drawn out of our egocentric, self-centered lives to engage with our God and Father. And when we establish that worship, then we are built into the community of God's people, from which we proclaim the love of God into our world. So it's important that you come to church. It's important that you engage with God's word. But I don't think God just impacts our hearts through coming to church services. I believe He impacts our hearts through meeting with other Christians and interaction in small groups. I believe He also impacts our hearts as we choose to serve for Him. I think these three things, and if I look at my own life, if I look at what happens in my life, where do I see life transformation? Well, I actually see life transformation and God impacting my heart in all three of these spheres. God impacts my heart when I hear God's word proclaimed effectively. And I might go to a conference or I might go somewhere else or it might be one of our own staff here. And God speaks to me in that. And suddenly I kind of sit up and think, oh yeah, maybe I'm a little bit complacent here. Maybe God does love me, and I didn't realize it. Maybe I need to go and do this thing. And when that happens, God impacts me. I know He impacts me through other people. One of the things that's tough for being a pastor is that it's sometimes hard to get people around you. Because sometimes it's hard within an existing church, because you're always the pastor, you're always the role. And so it's hard to have a little group of people where you can talk and pray and just share and kind of be you and not the pastor for a while. And one or two other minister friends of mine, we decided that we needed to be forming a small group. And so we went away for 2 days of spiritual retreat. It really was a spiritual retreat to read God's word, to pray, and to talk. And when we were on Tyree, and we discovered that was where they sent the naughty monks from Iona. So we penned ourselves to the four naughty monks. And that's how we email each other, the four naughty monks. Now, as the naughty monks get together, and we pray, and we talk, and we share, it impacts me. This year, what's impacted me the most? 2 days on Tyree with my naughty monks. You know, where we could talk and we could share. You need to have that in your life. The third thing that impacts me, where I see God impacting my heart, is when I serve. Actually, when I get involved and begin to work for God, I've discovered that if you sit on the touch lines and you aren't engaged in some aspect of the life of the church, then lethargy enters your spiritual life very, very quickly. There's a kind of attrition that goes on in the lives of our lives and in our spiritual lives when we're not involved. We very, very quickly become passengers, and then people who are passengers very quickly drop off. I see it happening. And I believe, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it describes the body of Christ, it's inferring that everyone has a ministry within the life of the local church. And I know there are ideas, well, you have ministries outside of the church, and that's true. But every one of you is called to have a ministry within the life of the local church. I was talking to Rab this week about these ideas, and he was sharing with me a little formula. We're going to talk more about this little formula in terms of the coming year, as we move into next year. But it goes like this. It's what we call our 1 times 1 times 1, or 111. I think that's the new emergency number, is it? 111. And we're just trying to quantify, what is the commitment? What is the commitment that we look for in terms of the life of the church? What does membership and being part of SBC look like as we move forward as people? So we've got 3 ones for you. It's one service. One service. We want you to be committed to one service, to regularly attend church. I am convinced, and despite what newfangled books may suggest or not, attending church and hearing God's word preached is essential to your spiritual life. One service. One small group. Let me explain what we mean by a small group. It's great if you can make it to a home group, but I know some of you can't. So it's to get into a prayer cell of 2 or 3 or 4 others, but a group. For me, it's my naughty monks. So, but a group where you are meeting together with others who are asking you the tough questions, where you can share the struggles that are going on in your life. And then one ministry. You know, people kind of think, oh no, ministry, but I'm really busy. Well, let me explain what this might look like. Well, I'm a really busy business guy, and I'm away most of the week, and I'm stressed in terms of my family and things, and you're saying, I've got to get involved in the life of the church in terms of some ministry. Well, the way you can be involved in that case, and I know that there are seasons in our lives, is that you can pray. So choose an area. There are lots of areas. Just choose an area and say, this is my ministry. I'm going to pray for that area. By the way, we need people to pray for every area. Same if you're a stressed mum and you're just raising your kids. You know, you've got newborn infants running around and you're screaming and you're... I remember talking to someone within our congregation a few weeks back, and they had just had a little baby. And I think they were a little bit reeling from actually what this looked like and how life changed and transformed. But again, you can pray. You can encourage. Maybe you're not in that situation. Maybe you've got some time. Maybe you can get involved. But I would ask that everybody is involved somewhere within the life of the church. Again, we worked out, I haven't got the exact stats in front of me, but Ron shared them yesterday. We have over 507 people serving in some area within the life of the church. Reckoned about 160 man hours, was it, per week? I'm looking at Ron. Okay. A lot. Oh, a lot more than that. And involved within the life of the church. And we need people to be engaged. See, because here's the bottom line. Despite everything that we do as a church, if we're not encountering the living Christ, If our hearts are not being transformed by the presence of His Spirit, if we're not being drawn into a deeper relationship with Christ, then all of the projects, all of the things, everything that we are building is ultimately for nothing. Because at the heart of the church is that living stone, is Jesus Christ and His transforming power. And we have to characterize that, and we have to carry that transforming power out into the world. Let's pray.